People having a problem with the blood. They look in the Bible and they can't understand the blood. I want you to understand a few things about the blood of Jesus. Number one, the blood was shed for forgiveness of sins. But listen to Pastor, it was shed for the forgiveness of sins, but if it's not sprinkled, it's not working. You need to read your Bible. The Bible says that sprinkled blood speaks. Blood shed is a wonderful thing to happen, but it doesn't save a person until blood used. If the Bible says we're saved because of the blood of Jesus, we're sanctified because of the blood of Jesus, we're justified for the blood of Jesus, why is it we skirt the blood when people get saved? Just confess Jesus. Well, how about what he did? How about the power of the blood? How about the understanding that when you speak the blood, it's when the blood is sprinkled? How many of you know that you've been made kings and priests unto God? As being a priest unto God, we have access, of course, 20 times in the book of Hebrews, you have access to God by the blood of Jesus. You don't have it because you did right. You have it by the blood of Jesus. So by the blood of Jesus, I have access. When I enter in, I am a priest just like the ones of the Old Testament, except we're in a better priesthood. The book of Hebrews says it's about Jesus being better. He was better, better than Moses, better than Joshua, better than Melchizedek. He was better than all of these guys. He was better than Aaron in their priesthood. Yet he had to sprinkle the blood because the Word of God says he has been made, listen to this word, the propitiation for our sin. Propitiation means the mercy seat. How many know what the mercy seat was? It was that golden lid that was on top of a box, about a 2 by 3 foot rectangular box that was had horns on it, had angels across the top of it, horns just meaning corner post. It had a ledge around the top of it, and on top of that it was called the mercy seat or the propitiation. And the high priest would go in there once a year. When he would enter in, he had to go in with blood. The high priest had to have blood on his ear, on his right ear, on his right thumb, and on his big toe. And then he had to sprinkle the blood in 7 places. How many of you know that according to we understand on the cross that Jesus let blood out of at least 7 areas of his body? And there was a sprinkling. So you didn't just walk in with blood. You had to put it on that mercy seat. How many of you understand the Bible says that Jesus went into heaven and took his blood with him? Do you understand that he had to sprinkle the blood? The blood being shed is wonderful, but until as a priest I sprinkle it. When you said, I plead the blood, what did you mean? Well, you know, I heard Grandma say she pleaded the blood, and it sounded good. And she pled the blood over, you know, over the kids traveling, and she'd plead the blood over someone that was sick, and she would plead the blood over their finances. Everybody, you know what I'm talking about? Y'all had any parents like I had? Yeah, I come from that. And to plead the blood over the car and plead the blood. I'm going to say something to you. That is sprinkling the blood when you speak the blood. It's what a priest would have done with the blood that's available. And the Bible lets you and I know that we are in this thing by the blood of the Lamb. We are staying in this thing by the blood of the Lamb. We have access by the blood of the Lamb. We are healed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm going to tell you something. Without the blood, we're in a useless position. You defeat the devil by the blood. See, there's some of y'all right now, y'all looking at me nodding. You got more junk in your life than you can shake a stick at. Can't get rid of it. You're born again, full of the Holy Ghost, speak in tongues, and still got your junk because you don't use the blood. It's got to move away from superstition to spiritual. It's got to move from that. I believe in speaking it over stuff, but I've got to understand what it does when I say it. What is exactly going on when I speak it? And I'm going to say one more thing before we read the Bible. Pleading the blood doesn't mean begging God. The pleading there is a courthouse term. It's a judicial term. It's a lawyer's language when they stand before the judge and say, I make a plea. And here's what they do. They state evidence. I make a plea based on. and they begin to state when this happened, so-and-so versus so-and-so, and another person versus someone else, and another versus someone. They go back in the archives, they pull up cases, that becomes their evidence, and then they stand their ground and say, I'll make my plea on this. So I'm not begging you. I'm letting you know that I've got some evidence right here, and I'm making a statement of what I want out of this court because of this evidence I have. When you plead the blood, you're making a statement to heaven. You're making a statement to hell. You're making a statement to Jesus that you believe the blood has power. You believe the blood is eternal. You believe the blood is to be used by the church, and therefore you have evidence and you speak that blood over these issues. When you do, you're sprinkling the blood. It's already been shed. But the sprinkling. Now, some of y'all looked at me real mean when I talked about all your jacked up life. But I'm going to read it in just a moment. But in 1 Peter, the Word of God says that I have been delivered. I have been delivered from the foolish lifestyle of my ancestors by the blood of Jesus. You're acting goofy because you're acting like your mama and daddy. You're acting like your grandma and granddaddy. You're acting like somebody back in your history. And you've said stuff like, I break this curse. You can break it all you want to, but the Bible doesn't say it breaks because you break it. It breaks because of the blood. If the blood is applied, then that lineage is broken. And I just feel like in the charismatic church, I don't know about the others, but in the charismatic church at least, that we have used and misused so much. It's not because we took the Bible and made it wrong. It's because we did stuff without understanding. It is true. So it doesn't make you not saved. It just makes you battle in that same junk because you've never gotten rid of it. Yeah, but I bound it and I cursed it. You do it all you want to, but it's not just your words. It's your words using the blood. Y'all ready for the blood? I mean, we're gonna have to get with this thing, but let me just give you some scripture. Very quickly, go to Revelation 12, 9 through 12. Revelation 12, 9 through 12. We're just going to hit a few scriptures this morning. I'll try to bring you back up to speed a little bit. Next week, we'll lay into this hard and heavy. But let's just look at this a little bit this morning. So the great dragon was cast out, and that serpent of old called the devil, Satan, who deceives the whole world, and he was cast in the earth, and the angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God. And you might want to underline the kingdom of our God. You'll read that again in Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse number 26, and the Word of God says when Jesus is bringing in the Lord's table, and he says, this is the new kingdom. This cup is my blood, its fruit. He didn't say this is literally my blood, because he said, I won't drink of this fruit of the vine until later when I get you in heaven. So there is a product of the communion that it was with Christ, it's with us, and it will be in heaven. We'll do this again because it is the blood. So anyway, he says, I'm starting this new kingdom, and I'm starting the blood. So bear with me on this one. Now salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God night and day has been cast down. And they did what? Okay, stop right there and let me say something to you. I have heard it said and said it myself that the only weapon of warfare we really have is the sword of the Spirit. And I didn't tell you the whole truth. The blood is also a weapon. I'm just owning up to myself. Y'all don't have to tell the truth if you don't want to. I'm just telling about me. I'm telling about Mike. I just got it. When I told someone the other day, I said, you're right, boy. It is the sword of the Spirit. That is the only thing. Everything else is defensive armor, but the sword of the Spirit. And, boy, that's our only weapon. And then I begin to read and study on the blood. And the Lord said, you have really missed a weapon here. And that weapon is the blood. That word overcome does not mean anything less than a struggle or a warfare, a process. Are you still with me? So when you see overcome, you got to think they better have a weapon. Right? And they overcame him by what? By what? By the blood of the Lamb. Which Lamb? It's capital L. That's how I taught my grandson, which is his left hand. Hold up your hands like this, only one of them makes an L. Left, right. Okay, never mind. So the Lamb is capitalized, which means it's the blood of the Lamb. Just interesting thought to you. Let me throw this out, and then we're going to have a song, and we've got to get going here. But let me throw you this thought. When I begin to study this, and you got to go back to the Lamb, you got to go back to Exodus 12, and we'll get on that next week a little stronger. But if you run back to Exodus 12 by any chance, and you read that, you're going to find out through 12 through 14 what happened to that Lamb. Did you know that they had to get that Lamb and bring it in their house for 4 days? How many of y'all have ever dealt with lambs? Okay. They'll become your pet in a day. In 2 days, they'll follow you around the house. In 3 days, they'll jump up in your lap. In 4 days, they're your family. There's a reason why they brought that lamb in the house. When they killed that lamb, y'all, they didn't just run out and snatch one up out of the field and say, let's gut this one. What they did is they brought that joker up in the house with them. They didn't just put him in a stall and fatten him up, brought him in the house with them, sleeping in the bed with them, up in the house with them. That became a part of their family, a cute little thing. It became who they were. They had this little pet. And I'm just going to say this. We look at the day that they killed the lamb and think, well, they just cut the throat of the lamb. I'm going to tell you right now, they cut family. In an Israeli's heart, in that day, the Jewish heart, they had a lamb that has now lived with them, and there was great emotional attachment to that. That's why Jesus came and dwelt among us. You know, some of y'all, I'm going to go ahead and just get you, you're already on your heels. I'll go ahead and push on over. I believe that Egyptians made it out of Egypt with the Israelites. How many's read your Bible? How many remember reading in Exodus chapter 9 when the hailstones were coming? And Moses said, hailstone's about to hit this house. It's going to kill everything that's not covered up. Now, it's not going to hit over in Goshen. Just saying, our folk are taken care of, but you boys are going to be in deep trouble up in here. So what they did is this. The Bible said they resisted Moses, but if you read chapter 9, you read on, and it'll say, but a few men feared the word of God and brought their animals in, and they were protected. And if you read about the Lord's table, and it's being established in Exodus 12, and God says this, he said, it is for now to get you out of Egypt, but it is for tomorrow when you get across the sea, you will perform this again. It will happen every month you're going to go through this process. Do you remember that? Do you remember that on the annual Passover, when they first had it, do you remember that Passover caused it to become the first day of their life? When you take this Passover, this will be a brand new day, brand new year. Everything starts over. Wow, what is salvation like? It's like a lamb's blood has been sprinkled over my heart, been sprinkled over the top and the sides of it, which brought protection for me, and it brought a witness to my community, because when they saw that, I've just got a feeling, I don't have a lot of scripture, but I got some ideas, that they saw that blood going on, and they heard about the firstborn dying. I think those same smart boys that brought their animals in wanted the firstborn to live. And they said, now y'all tell me again why y'all killing this lamb? They said, dude, if you're going to do this, you've got to bring it up in your house for 4 days. And then you're going to have to cut his throat. And then you're going to have to position yourself on your front with hyssop. And you're going to have to dip in that blood. And you can't just, don't just kill the lamb. Don't just drain the blood. You get it in hyssop and you sprinkle it. You put it on the door post and you put it over the lintel of the door. And it'll drip down over the entrance of the door. And when you do that, anybody inside is going to be protected. And the Bible says this. And when you have your next Passover meal, when you celebrate this again, remember to allow those strangers to participate with you. Who do you think they were? I'm guessing smart Egyptians. Dude, I'm just saying, if I knew that, I would put some blood on. I was going to track you through a little bit more of this, but let it just be said, and maybe, like I said, next week we can bring more to this. It is the blood of Jesus, according to 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. It says, "For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life that you inherited from your mom and daddy. And it was not paid with mere gold and silver, which lose their value. It was the precious, the valuable blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God." So it is the application of the blood at salvation. It's not just running your mouth at an altar. It's getting it. I think we preach people into the kingdom before they understand they're in a kingdom. And they're willing to say anything to dodge hell. But is it in their heart? Your words are for me, but your heart is far from me. You know what God said? Can that happen? I believe it can. I believe we can say words that sound right, but our hearts be far from Him. So I'm letting you know. And the Bible says also that I am delivered from a kingdom of darkness. This is Colossians 1, 13 and 14. I have been delivered from a kingdom of darkness. Listen to this. Delivered from a kingdom of darkness by the blood of the Lamb, and by that same blood conveyed into the kingdom of God. I like that word, conveyed. It means I didn't walk on my own. Conveyed means something picked me up and took me in there. Conveyed is a conveyor belt. You get on it and it moves you somewhere. I believe this. I believe the blood of the Lamb will move you into the presence of God, whether you know where you're going or not, if you understand the blood. The blood is access. It is going to be the blood sprinkled and the blood spoken that is going to make a difference in your life. And just quickly, I'll give you these. Well, let me just give you some more scripture quickly. It is a weapon, Revelation 12, 9 through 12. The blood of Jesus sprinkled is the justification of your sins and justifying you to be as though you never sinned, Romans 3, 24 to 26. It is freedom from bondage, Colossians 1, 12 through 14. We sprinkle the blood according to 1 Peter 1, 2. NIV says this, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with His blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. So closing on the thought for today at least, we need to lay claim to what the blood is doing for us. And don't let it go. You're fighting Satan by the blood of the Lamb. When you say, I come against you in the name of Jesus and with the blood of the Lamb. I want you to see yourself getting supernatural hyssop, dipping in the blood of the Lamb, Jesus' blood. Not just any Jesus' blood, not any Jesus' blood. And you take it and say, this is the blood of the Lamb. This is the blood of the Lamb. You're not going to defeat my family. The blood of the Lamb is against you. You're not keeping my health up. Blood of the Lamb is against you. I will come out of this. The blood of the Lamb is against you. I'm just saying, you can make application with the blood of the Lamb in the name of Jesus, but I think what we've done, by and large, if it's mentioned 95 times in the New Testament, 39 times it's about His blood. 20 times in the book of Hebrews. And it's not just about shed blood, it's about sprinkled blood. The blood brings protection. The blood gives a means of deliverance. The blood gives you a promise of a new day, and the blood becomes a witness to those around you. We're going to serve communion to you right now. Y'all okay for today? Y'all all right? Did you get enough to hold you? Study. Google the blood of Jesus. Go to Gateway Bible. Go to Blue Letter Bible and just word search blood 390 plus times in the Bible, 95 times in the New Testament, some say 94, 39 times the blood of Jesus. It's worth a study. It's worth a study. Let's close on this one thought here. Look in Matthew chapter 26. Y'all have that back there, guys? Matthew 26, I think verse 26. We'll have a look at it and see. Hit me. There we go. Okay, we're gonna read a couple of these verses. Okay, y'all with me? I'll read it and y'all just watch it. I'll read it in your Bible or on your whatever. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and He blessed and broke it and He gave it to the disciples. What did He take? Bread. He didn't take body, He took bread. And He took bread and He blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is My body. This is bread, but it is My body. We got a representation here. You are about to take bread. But in the spirit realm, his body. He lost the whole church over saying that. Then he took the cup and he gave thanks and he gave it to them saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood. Now watch this. Of the new covenant. He hadn't died yet. He was going to die. He's taking this now, making a confession before it happens that this is a new kingdom. He is inaugurating, if you don't mind, a new kingdom. When John saw him coming, he said, behold the... This is the blood of a new covenant he's inaugurating now, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. It was shed for many. And what's the next verse? But I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the day that I drink with you anew in my Father's kingdom. So here's what he did. He did a pre-cross inauguration of a new kingdom. This is it. He did the cross. This is the kingdom. He did a, we're going there. One day we're all going to have this with him. He's going to say, I've been wanting to take this a long time, but we're going to have it again. And he'll hold up a cup and say, this is my blood. We'll hear these words again. It's not an accident they're in your Bible. We're going to take communion, so I'm going to do this. Before they come, I'm going to ask our elders to come and take a position, if they don't mind. I've got the couples. Tim is not with us today, so I just use these other couples to come. They're going to help us serve communion to you. We have open communion in this house. That means everybody can receive communion. You don't have to be a member here. You just got to be born again. So let me just ask you a question. If a lamb died for you, if someone died, if someone did something that could save you and use their blood to do that, that sounds awful gory, but if it was the only way for us to be saved, that God says it's going to take blood sacrifice. The book of Hebrews says that Jesus was better than Moses, better than Joshua, better than angels. He was better than the old covenant. And listen to this. And he was better than the sacrifices of bulls and goats and lambs, which could not save, but represented the covering of sin of the Old Testament. He's better than that. How do you get better than that? Because you remove the sin. You don't just cover the sin. If you're not serving Christ today, one of the hardest things for me to do is give an altar call, give a communion time, and not give you a chance to accept Christ. Now, some people may be expecting, I don't know what you're expecting out of accepting Christ, but here, let me help you on this. You need to get in your heart and in your head that Jesus Christ died for you. Nobody else can save you. You need to get it in your mind that he shed his blood, which was the propitiation. It's what's going on the top of the ark for us. But not only was that, he took it up and took it to heaven. There is a sprinkling, and there's a sprinkling on your heart. Wouldn't it be wonderful today if Jesus just sprinkled you with his blood and you became clean? Because the Bible says it is with the washing of the water of the word, and it's also with the sprinkling of the blood that we're cleansed from a vile conscience. Some of us believers got a rough conscience. Anybody ever been jacked up before? You got a conscience. You got a conscience. What do I do with it? Put it on the blood of Jesus. Now, I want to say there's a song we used to sing that is just totally unscriptural, that we were plunged beneath the blood. You're not plunged under the blood. You were sprinkled with the blood. You can sing it, and I get it, but we don't anymore. But it's a sprinkling and a cleansing. Close your eyes if you don't mind. Father, I'm just asking right now that someone just makes that wise decision today. I believe you had them here not by accident. And maybe just one word answered their question. Maybe it, not that we were wiser than anybody they've ever heard, but just something you had for them today was in this house, and it did something in their heart. So right now, I'm asking, Father, they feel the liberty in this room right now to just pray, and I want everybody to pray with me. Say, Father God, I thank you now for Jesus Christ, my Lamb. He died for me. His blood was shed for me. And it's been sprinkled over my heart. It has justified me today. I'll never be the same. This is the first day of the rest of my life. I will walk in the anointing and salvation by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? I want you to stand with me if you would. If you prayed that.